Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I thank you for joining me today. And we're going to take a little bit of a detour because, as I was just sharing, so many today don't realize, as believers, the power and authority that they have in Christ. Otherwise, God would be surely unjust to say in the scriptures that Jesus said, the works that I do, even greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father? I mean, how is that possible? Well, we have to understand the power and authority God has given to us. We've looked just very briefly at a few scriptures, how it was noted that Jesus had power and authority. This is what he did have. And one of my pet peeves is preachers that don't finish a verse or take it out of context. And beloved, it's important that we get the mind of the Lord, the heart of the Spirit, as we read the Word of God. And if we find it difficult, the Lord tells us in James, if we would ask for wisdom, He would give it to us. He desires that we ask, and He, especially when it comes to the Word of God, He will give us understanding. And it has nothing to do with mental IQ. It's spiritual understanding deep within the inner man, the spirit man. And so it's important that we understand. You know what, I've said, I don't know how many times, that the authorized King James Bible is my Bible. I've always used that, even as a young Christian, and I don't have any problem. I can read another translation, not an issue with me, but I found years, decades ago, when I was working on messages and ministering regularly in the weekly service, that as I would spread out all the Bibles we had, Brother Glass had, and I put them all on the desk, as I would read a particular passage, say working on a particular message, I would find what would bear witness with my spirit, there was an authenticity to the King James. Okay, let's do a little Bible study. Let me just give you a little example. I think this is one of the times I really thought, wow, look at that. This is Psalm 77. I don't know what the message was, but this psalm begins, it's a psalm of Asaph, and he said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. He basically said, my soul refused to be comforted. He was not in a good way. I love the psalms because, you know, they're just really honest before God. He said, I remembered God and I was troubled. Oh, gee. Ah, I complained, though my spirit was overwhelmed. Okay, can we get good. Does that describe it pretty well? Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I can't speak. And he says, verse 7, what will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? I mean, he's throwing all these things out. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And again, this is King James. Verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. This, in other words, putting it another way, this is just where I'm at. However, I will remember the years of the right hand or the favor of the Most High.
And you can say, well, Sister Glass, that's in italics. It's not in the original. I will remember.
Well, okay, let's take the context. Verse 11, if you have any doubts, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. In other words, in his desperate state. Nonetheless, he's saying, God, have you forgotten me? What's wrong? I mean, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you answering? Yet, I'm going to remember God's faithfulness. Just paraphrasing. Now, why I favor the King James? Like, for example, what do I have here? This is the Open Bible, the New American Standard, one of the better translations. The same passage, he's going on, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? And then, I don't know how many translations I had in front of me, and the translation reads in many of these newer versions, you know what, saints, if the King James was good enough for hundreds of years and the Holy Ghost anointed them to translate the Bible into the English language, I figure it's will serve us well also. If you want to read another translation, not a problem. There's years, a year going through the Bible, I've read the Amplified, not a problem, but there's an integrity to the King James, because you know what the New American Standard says? Then I said, it is my grief. The King James says, this is my infirmity. In other words, this is just where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling, God. Verse 10, New American Standard, then I said, this is my grief, that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I remember when I read that, I said, huh? God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whereas the King James renders that verse 10, this is my infirmity. This is just where I'm at. Not that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the years of the right hand, because it goes on in verse 11, I will remember, I will meditate. And so I felt that was an authentic translation of what the Holy Spirit was trying to say. So you now have a detailed explanation of why I love the King James, besides the expressive beauty of the language. But anyway, here's another thing. While I'm at it, I'm my hobby horse, I might as well continue. For example, in the so many translations of the Bible. In Mark, the 16th chapter, let me just say, well, the NIV, and I'm not going to pick on the NIV if that's your Bible, but nonetheless, many of these modern translations that are, quote, copyrighted, so you better not quote too much without getting permission, and I'd be good, I won't go further than that. The NIV says, from Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 9 through 20, it says, the two most reliable early manuscripts do not have 9 through 20. And in the Parallel Bible, there I have a Bible that's parallel. I think it's the Living Bible, the Revised Standard. Anyway, it says verses 9 through 20 are not found in most ancient manuscripts. So forget about the false teachers. The very versions make a believer, someone who's trying to study the Word, feel like, oh, well, you mean the earliest ones have it? Maybe we ought to believe that. Well, as a writer, now who would end a gospel with verse 8? They went out quickly, fled from the sepulcher. Sepulcher. These were the ladies. For they trembled and were afraid, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. End Gospel of Mark. What? No, I don't think so. Because why? There's some words of Jesus in there and some modern day translators. I'm trying to be good. They didn't want what Jesus said in verses 15 through 18, which are in red letters in my Bible, King James. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, unless he repents. These signs shall follow them that believe. Here's the power and authority Jesus gave. He is saying, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. He wasn't talking literally. He's talking about demonic powers. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those end the words of Jesus. And verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Okay, it's up to you. Choose which version you want. For me, I will take that. that the conclusion, verses 9 through 20. In fact, and for those of you who have been with me a length of time, you've heard me say this I don't know how many times, in the 4,200 Greek manuscripts that are in existence, 680 contain the Gospel of Mark, and only two, that's 678, only though there's only two that don't have the disputed verses. In other words, the rest of them do, and the three Latin versions all have. And so this particular understanding, it was never questioned until the 4th century. So, beloved, as I said, we have to rightly divide the Word of God. And while I went into considerable detail, the point is this, you know, if we're reading this and we think, the earliest ones didn't have that. Well, teachers who want to preach to people who have itching ears and say, well, you know, that's not in the earliest version. Okay. You just, you know, do whatever God speaks to your heart. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to hear and obey His word. So, going back to what Jesus did, He had all power in heaven and earth was given to Him, He said. He used the Word of God, and we have to use the Word of God in order to expect the devil to listen to us. We have nothing in ourselves, but God's Word has the authority that we have. He, in His disciples, who when they were alive, He delegated that authority, and now He's given that to us. Those were the words of the Great Commission, to preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. And so putting the Word into practice in our lives will turn defeat into victory and tragedy into triumph. We are more than conquerors in Jesus. Well, beloved, my time has just flown, and we will continue on in tomorrow's broadcast on the power and authority of the believer. I thank you for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, beloved, there is power wherever two or three of you would agree together as touching anything, another divine principle. There's power in that. And so if you have a need, know that I will personally pray for you and send back whatever God gives, scriptures, prophetic word, whatever, to be an encouragement to your heart. I love you, my UCM partners, and my radio family, even though you've never written. I pray for you every day. I thank God for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, yeah.